Blog Talk Radio.
Marcella, go get JoJo. Go get JoJo.
Amen. God bless you guys for joining us on this afternoon. We're going to get started on actually Tuesday night testimony service. Of course, we've got a special guest that's going to be in the studio with us tonight. Not special to me, but maybe to some other. You know, we got the Apostle Oscar Walker out of Houston, Texas. He's going to be with us on tonight as we go into the Word over in the book of Philippians. Told us Paul's bringing some of the letters while he's in prison to the people of Philippi. We're going to talk about some of the things about dealing in the area, about his crucifixion. How have you been crucified yet? In the process of how your daily walk is with Christ and how Christ performs himself and the work that that Apostle Paul did while even in prison. He was still staying loyal to the Word of God and doing the work that God has called him to do. So hopefully you guys get a chance to enjoy and be with us and hold on just and just kind of stay with us here just a minute. We'll make sure we're getting good audio coming in and we're quite sure we're clear. We've been working on the system, but I want to tell you about this man of God by the name of Dr. J.C. Matthews here in the city of Irvin, Texas, at 3001 Irvin Boulevard out there in the city of Irvin, Texas. Every Sunday afternoon at 6:30, him and a woman of God, Gina Matthews, is always bringing a powerful word that's coming from the kingdom of God and the work that God's performing them to do. Want to get a chance to get a hold of her at Reigning International Ministries out there in the city of Irvin, which he's based out of Fort Worth, but he does all the work of the kingdom out of that area of Irvin, Texas. I want to also tell you about the woman of God, Apostle Diva Curry, here in the city of Dallas in the Grand Prairie area. It's God's Restoration Ministry. You can reach her at 469. It's going to be 971-0091. And also, of course, the man of God is going to be with us on tonight, Apostle Oscar Walker. I want to make sure we're getting good information in. It's getting good sound in here on this afternoon. Just want to make sure we're coming through pretty clear. And Just want to kind of get myself in order here to make sure we got those who are coming in the line. I'm getting several messages coming through because we do have an actually live broadcast that's going on as of right now. And we want to make sure that everybody's coming through and everybody hearing us correctly. Also, we got the man of God, also out of Saginaw, Michigan, with us on tonight, Elder Kerry Williams. I want to kind of bring him in the studio for here a second and let him kind of give a shout out to you guys. And we're going to get on with the show. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to say that's coming from the King, Elder Williams.
Amen. God bless you tonight, Apostle Ellis and First Lady Ellis. We just want to bring you greetings from, again, my name is Elder Kerry Williams. Kerry Williams Ministries, located in Saginaw, Michigan. We welcome each and every one to the broadcast tonight, and we're excited to get into the Word of God. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Amen. We want to also, as always, give the woman of God, you know, Pastor Patty Ellis, I want to give her a word that she has to say. She might be in the midst of some things that's going on, but she's always been a tentative ear, you know, while she's actually in the studio. And all those who are calling in, as we get ready to get references, our testimonies, I want the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, to start off with the testimonies tonight. This is a woman of God who's the actually a wife of the man of God of this house. You know, y'all don't hear me say First Lady a lot. Not a lot, because I don't see that in the Bible anywhere, First Lady. So somebody got to tell me that, you know, I don't find it in the Bible anywhere. She's my wife, and she's my co-laborer in the ministry, but she's my pastor. As I get to ready to set forth and do the work God's called me to in the area of this apostolic walk, not any different from any other anointing, but God calls it different levels. It's like a person who plays sports. You know, you got different, you know, linebackers, quarterbacks, different people on the team. But just, you know, make things short and brief. Want to make sure we're going to get her in here and have her to open us up with prayer. We're going to have her to give out our first testimony this morning. Then we're going to go to the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, while we wait on the man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker, out of Disciples Tabernacle Church there in the city of Houston, Texas. Woman of God.
Oh,
right. Oh, yeah. See, there you go. Just, yeah, you just hit that number one and stay in there. Amen.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you. You good. Go through. Come on with it.
Thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we're able to get together and that we're able to really just fellowship and to be able to learn from one another and to hear each other's testimonies. We thank you, Lord, for just having the ability to just wake up this morning and really to get through the day and continue to do your work as you have purpose for us, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that all the words that come forth today, let it just be from the kingdom and let it be strong, let it be anointed, let it be just wisdom to our ears. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. First up on testimonies, we all see all of you guys, but the woman of God, Pastor Patty, I was going to start off with a testimony. But I'm going to let those of you know who are calling into the studio. If you want to come into the studio or just listen by internet, you can. But if you're going to call into the studio, the number you want to call in is area code 516-387-1220. Don't be ashamed to call in. And the thing is, when you don't call in, you get a chance to you don't get people a chance to hear the things that's happening in your life that you can encourage them on. So we encourage you to call into the studio and be a part of the show on this afternoon, our Tuesday night testimony with the man of God out of Saginaw, Michigan, Elder Williams. And also we are waiting Apostle Oscar Walker. And we see our international team is now popping in. God bless you guys. We thank you all the time for being faithful and being a part of us and the work we're doing here at Harvest Light Church. Once again, area code is 516-387-1220. And all you have to do is push the number one button on your Axie keypad, and that'll bring you into the studio. We'll give you a chance during this these 10 minutes that we're going to spend, hopefully giving testimony to those who are actually going to be on the line with us on tonight. So we want to ask most of you who are in the background to silence some of your equipment that's in the background. Your system picks up very sensitively. So if you're in an area where you kind of might be with your children or you might be roaming around, try to get to the area that's closed off where you don't hear as much around the testimonies that are going forth. We're going to have the woman of God to go ahead and open up and let's get started. And we're going to go to Elder Williams and we're going to let him get started. As I said, we're going to let him start up after the woman of God as we get a wait on Apostle Oscar Walker to come in out of Houston, Texas. Amen.
Amen. As most of you know or may not know, I went through a really challenging time recently. to where I was fighting with some really debilitating headaches. And it went on for a long period of time. But during that time, you know, God is so good and continues just to each one of us when we go through some tough times and some challenging times, that he really wants us to communicate with him, not just at those times that were difficult, but at the times that just every day, our everyday life. But during this time, I had a lot of downtime, and I had many, many conversations with the Lord. And it's amazing how God just works with us individually and knows where we are and knows what we need. And during that time where it seems like, you know, you go through a tough time and sometimes it feels like it's never going to end, that you're wondering why you go through some tough times and why, what's the purpose of it? But the way that God works is he works always in purposes. And you know, that he does take those things that are difficult and work it to our good and to our benefit for those who love him. And I was just able to really truly experience that love of God and to walk through some difficult times that I know that he doesn't leave me and doesn't forsake me. I've had a lot of experiences with this, and I'm just so grateful for those that have been around me and surrounded me and prayed for me, because I could feel that power that's coming from the kingdom. And for those of you that have never experienced this before, it's amazing. It's amazing to have God's touch on your life, God's healing touch on your life, that you know that it's no one but God that heals you, no one but God that touches your life, no one but God that talks to you. And I'm just so grateful to have gone through the experience, even though it was very difficult. But it's amazing how God works. And I just wanted to share that you know, when you have some tough times, you just know that you're not alone, that we do have some tough times. And surround yourself with people that can pray for you, because that is so important. When you may not be strong, when you may not even feel like praying, there's those people that are around you that are standing in for you. And just know that you're never, never, never alone. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, woman of God, to tell you. We're going to get the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, in here out of Saginaw, Michigan, with us here in just a few minutes. But, I mean, in the process of her saying, just speaking on that particular challenge that she was going through, it seemed like, you know, when you're going through other levels, you know, it some people say they're bigger devils, but I think he's the same old devil doing the same old thing, just acting as a little more, he's putting a little more pressure to what he's called, what God has called you to do. But you know, I do believe in the word, no weapon formed against you. I saw my wife go through this. I never talked to a lot of people about it, because it wasn't a concern, because it was a personal battle, and I knew what it was all about. It's about us going to the next level, the way he wanted us to go. The attack wasn't necessarily directed at her, but it was to me, to throw me off to what I was doing, that I may pay close attention to her. Not that I don't, but it was pulling me away from the work that God wanted me to do, to move to the next level that I need to move to. So cutting out deals, stopping different kind of promotions, and I had to take time to be with my wife to make sure she was going to be taken care of during the course of this time. But he really didn't hinder anything. He kind of just put a lot of pressure, like in a pipe, but when it burst, it just exploded. And as it exploded, God began to give more revelation, more illumination, and even the process of some things we was dealing with, the systems and the money we pumped into the systems, we actually doing so much. And some people hear these wind streams, and they think they can just go to the internet, and yeah, you can get just a little internet show if you want to, but we producing some stuff in here. It's not that you just got an online internet show that some people suppose me. There's equipment in here. There's thousands of dollars of equipment that pushes these signals in areas, even though that little Windstream system, Spreaker.com or BlogTalk.com, it's on there. You can get on with your little pencils and get your little formulas or whatever. We got equipment that exhort the system, and it pushes beyond what we actually are. So when you think about some of the stuff we're doing here, no, it's not just we jump on the radio. doing some little .com type thing. Now, we all, this is a universal system. And during the course of time that these things was happening with her, we had to believe and declare that in the midst of where we were going, it's really more, it was really more than what we can see. We had to believe that. So, I mean, this is just what some of the headaches she was having. These were actually paralyzing headaches that she was having. Where she couldn't even be with her daughter. She couldn't talk to me. She couldn't do nothing but lay there and put in much like a comatosis. And I had to pray out to God. I had to cover my head in sackcloth. And I had to fight the devil at the same time. Kind of like the same thing that happened when the Prince of Persia came against the man of God over there in the book of Daniel. You know, he was actually kind of get a word. God was trying to get a word to him, but that prince came in. But God intervened in us, and I'm telling you, man, the woman of God, he sent angels. This is why I hear Apostle Walk all talk all the time. You got to get you an intercessor. Somebody's going to intercede with you. And God sent some special people of power prayers that we knew of, and they guided us, and we talked, and we cried, and we wept, and we released the power of the kingdom, and God broke that thing in half. You want to get a break, you better get you an intercessor. And the devil's come to try to say through the man of God or that doctor, whoever, you know, I'm going to see the man of God because he's created by God, that you got this and you got that. God said, that's not so. The Bible said to him that believeth all things are possible. So we're going to bring this man of God, Elder Carey William, man. He's always got some powerful stuff that God has been doing. And I'm telling you, some powerful things happening in this man of God life. And we're going to give him a few minutes to go ahead and get going as we get ready to wait on this man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker. Out of Houston, Texas. Elder?
Hey, man, God bless you. I enjoyed Pastor Patty Ellis's testimony, and I understand everything that she's saying. You know, this is truly a spiritual war that we're in battle, we're in the midst of. And as she was talking, I was looking over the text again, and I remember earlier when you gave me, when we talked about what the text is going to be tonight, this jumped out at me because, you know, it speaks directly to actually something that I'm living through right now. You know, I believe this word, and I live this word, and I'm not going to get into, you know, a lot of it yet, but from verses 12 on down, I'll pretty much the rest of the way through. Paul is saying something here, and verses 15 and 16 jumped out at me particularly. Verse 16 says, the former priest Christ, from selfish ambition,
this is your
not
testimony,
sincerely
right?
Supposing to add affliction to my chains. I'm sorry, say what?
Okay, this is your testimony, right? We're still in testimony mode.
Yeah. This is
okay.
My testimony.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And I only read that one verse of scripture to say this. You know, Pastor Ellis is aware of some of what's been going on with me for about a month or so now. I've been dealing with a situation at my local church. And to make a long story short, it has caused a huge division in the church. But I'm going to say this much. When you love this word, when you live by this word, and you apply by this word, don't ever be afraid to stand on the truth. Because the truth allows you to be transparent before God and before men.
My God.
And there's going to come a time when you're going to be exposed from the inside out anyway. And I'm saying that to say this, you know, when you know that you're living, you're doing all you can to live right before God, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's somebody that's over you in the gospel or whether you're responsible for those in the gospel. When God tells you to go right and men decide to go left,
come on, keep going right. Oh,
and let
God
reveal everything in the wash, because I'm a firm believer in this much. I would rather stand with God and be judged by men or the rest of the world than to stand with the world and be judged by God. And even this day and age, it's still popular for men to fall in line and do what other men are doing, regardless as to whether it's right or wrong. If I'm reading in the Word of God that I'm supposed to obey God's law and then man's law, and if I'm reading in black and white that something is wrong and illegal to do, and you come to me just because you're a pastor or you're a first lady or whoever, and ask me to help you or to, quote, have your back and stand with you when I know you're wrong, it's not going to happen.
My God. Come on, Elder.
People form alliances and leagues and never mind the fact whether or not it's in line with the word and the will of God. Well, if the word and will of God isn't setting the tone of the precedent, then all of it's for naught anyway.
My Lord.
Because God doesn't allow, don't nobody get away with nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And if you can't be transparent in your walk, then God's going to be very transparent when he deals with you and others around. So be encouraged. This word tonight is so enriching. It's so vitally important that we get it. Because not only is God saying a lot through Paul here, but he's speaking it directly to our hearts. And we have to receive and walk in it.
My Lord. No, I'm about to leave it right there. I'm about to leave it with you because I'm telling you, hitting you all up in some stuff. I mean, in the name of Jesus. I mean, when you said that the crucifixion. Now, we know we're coming into, the Good Friday. And I can remember this man of God, Elder Williams, telling me that he ran across a woman of God, didn't even understand what Good Friday was. Now this has amazed me, and this now she probably I don't know how long she had been going to church, but she came to the question saying, "What is Good Friday? Why is it? Why is Good Friday? You don't even know why you living." This is what I'm saying. You got so much time to deal with the conflict situations in the house of God, rather than deal with the souls who are laying in the balance. And this is what I hear the man of God saying. You know, Isaiah 40? Can we all get along? Do all our sins were like scarlet? That we all had ridicules in our lives, and how he rolled conversation in, it rolled right off the testimony, right into the day's message. As we await on Apostle Walker, we're gonna get bits and pieces and education about some things until he actually comes along. If not, we're gonna move on. I mean, you guys got to keep moving. But in the book, not just in Philippians 1, you're looking at Philippians, but when you turn your Bibles, and I really want to hear your pages, I mean, whatever you got, look at the book of Mark chapter 10.
Yeah.
And he gives a variational breakdown for those who are understanding. When you look at Mark chapter 10, and I think around that 34th verse, he talks about some of the things that Christ had to endure before him actually going to his death. Y'all gotta catch what we're saying here, because it's right in line what this man of God just said. To endure inflictions as a part of your making. I think Jeremiah talked about that too, didn't he, man of God, over there when he was worried about the process of where he was going, and the Lord told him that he was crying pretty much about his afflictions.
It was Jeremiah.
Jeremiah 18, he said, "Look, go down." He gave me the. I got to give you a physical. I got to send you down to the potter and let you see.
Go to the potter's
what I'm about
house.
To do
right.
with you. I'm about to do something with you. And Christ, in his process of going to the cross for the remission of me and your sins, this is such a significant day. I'm going to say. Not quoted firmly, but I want to say that I think his going to the cross, and I can't really wave money another. Maybe Elder can kind of step in there. Maybe the woman of God can step in there, and Patty, you got to push that number one on your phone. Let me know that you're in there. But I think that crisis. I want to make sure I say, you got to be careful how you say things. You just can't say stuff. And I want to make sure I say it in the right way. For now, I want to say, from my understanding, and I don't think it can weigh off anyway, because it runs a Richter scale on me, kind of like what's, but I think his dying was just as more, well, let me say, I believe his process of persecution was even more than his dying. So I can't balance that, because both of them came to the place that we need to be. But because Paul, even in his imprisonment in Philippians, he said something about, for me to die, is me to gain Christ.
It's the gain Christ.
We're gonna get there. But you look at Mark chapter 34 into verse chapter 10 and 34, and I'm looking at this over here, and it say the Bible says that, now notice how he said, the Bible said, and they will mark him. Let's go back up here. Look at us a little bit, Elder. Let's kind of get some real good understanding. The Bible says over here in the 32nd verse, now they were on the road going to Jerusalem. Now listen to me. Sometimes on your road to Jerusalem, you're going to encounter some stuff if you're going to get to another level. I don't want to get ahead of what I'm saying, but what I'm getting to see here is that on your road to your Jerusalem, sometimes the Bible says you got to stay in Jerusalem until you're endowed with the power. And on your way to Jerusalem is when he began to receive the power of the manifestation that when he died and when he rise up, the power will be given into him. Everything will be in his hands. But in the process of going, the Bible said when he was going on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed and all that have followed him. They were afraid. Now, not always how they said they're scared for him. But Christ said, don't be scared for me. I'm just scared for you because what I'm about to do for you, you're going to revolutionize your whole life. The Bible says, then they took 12 aside, and again, they began to tell him the things that would happen to him. Now, this is when the supernatural part is coming in. And this is when you look at the manifestation. You got to go through the whole chapter on this particular 34 because they're looking at the process of how now, then he took the 12 aside, and he began to tell them. Now, if you understand the revelation of this, and I don't want to take too long on this, but when you go back, and I believe it's in the book of Matthew, that when Christ had went through the process of coming back, the same 12 that he pulled aside and told him about the things that would happen to him on the road to Jerusalem, when Christ was resurrected, they began to talk about him after his crucifixion on their way to a certain village or town. I think it was going back to Bethel. I got to make sure I don't want to misquote me on this. I think it was on their way back to Bethel. And they say there was one, he was talking with them. And as he was talking with them, they didn't know who he was. But from their perspective, from the physical standpoint of view, they had always saw him die on the cross from a physical death. But in the physical in his resurrection, was it going to be a lot more powerful than his actually going down? The word of God declares over here, and you look at over here in this particular area of scripture, say that they was going to Jerusalem, Jesus was going before them. Now, he's going before them, amazed them, and they were following them. And he took the 12 aside, and he told them all the things that would happen to him. Now, all these things are happening because what happens to Elder Carey, what happens to me, what happens to Patty, it's another level change. That's why when the man of God gets in, he talks about, have you been crucified?
Mm-hmm.
Have you really been crucified? Have any of us really been crucified? Because I think when I was talking to the elder here a few weeks ago, we were talking about over in the book of Romans, and it's really a powerful scripture, goes in correlation with the whole teaching about the crucifixion and resurrection. When he wrote the book of Romans, and I think that Romans 8, and I think it's 18, he talks about the suffering process. He said, I reckon for the suffering at this present time is not worthy of the glory that we reveal. Well, the same thing in Christ is dying for us and being raised is the same thing Christ is saying about me and you. This is why he goes back to the Corinthians. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But he comes also back in Corinthians 12, and he talks about the process. Now, I beseech you, brother, by the God is calling you to a death, not a physical, but a death. That when you die with him, everything that you need will resurrect with you. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm no longer the man I used to be. I done confessed in my mouth. I done believed in my heart. I believe that now I am in Christ. And if Christ lives in me, then I also live with him. I think John talks about that, that he came to do that John in John 14 say, I didn't come to do the work of myself. I came to do the work of one who sent me. In the process of Christ dying on his way to Jerusalem, he pulled these 12 men aside in the book of Mark, and he told them the things that would happen to him before they even took place. The Bible declares over there in 10:33, say, behold, they were going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed. Now, he's telling them in the 32nd verse, but now he begins to speak it out. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem. And he said, the Son of Man will be betrayed. The Bible declares when you're going on to the 34th verse, I want to get through this kind of quickly, but I don't want to push over it. I want you guys to look at the 33rd verse, but I'm going to read on over to the 34th verse because I'm trying to make a point here. It says, and they mocked him, and they scorned him, and they spit on him. Am I saying something? When we're going through afflictions in our life, if he had to endure the cross, and what he had to give us the right to have the tree of life, And then we complain, not complain, but when we complain, the Bible says we ought to go through our very affliction with happiness and joy, knowing that the outcome that he said according to Romans 8 and 18, I reckon for the suffering. You may be suffering through some stuff right now in your life, finances, physical, whatever it may be. But, baby, when you understand the process of remaking of a resurrection in your life, I'm trying to get you to understand you're about to be something more than you ever thought you would ever be in your entire life. I think Paul says in Corinthians, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. The things that God has in store for those who have loved him. When you love Christ, the Bible says you endure affliction. He suffered affliction as he did at the cross. So even as we as being man and woman of God, the greatness is in us for it to come out of us. I just say sometimes it says that it was an old RCA commercial. I don't know if y'all remember. I'm just all over the place. I feel the Holy Spirit move. I'm just speaking to y'all. But I hear the Holy Spirit saying it was an old commercial that came back out in the days. It was about a record, about a television. Most of us back in the days grew up with those flow model RCAs or Zeniths in our household. They were sitting there where they do the rattles and all those things to get a good picture on the four legs. Some of them had the nice with the high. We called it the hi-fi. We had a record player hooked on to it. But, am I there? Yeah, I know I'm up in there. See, sometimes you got to go back to the rock. But, see, that thing that happened back then was only a figmentation of what we're seeing today. And what we're seeing today, we won't even be seeing what we're seeing today. They be laughing at these flat screens. But what I'm saying, that when Christ moves in your life, when you're going through something that's been made to make something qualitative, make it quality and better, the Bible says the name goes in, the quality goes in. How did it go? Before the name goes out.
Right.
Mostly they weren't born back then. It was the old Zenon RCA chemist that said, the quality goes in before the name, am I in there, goes out. When God got to make you and break you, he says in Romans, it has not been revealed what you should be. Romans says it in 8 and 18, but I reckon, notice how he said it, accounting term for the carrying over whatever your suffering is. Reckoning is an accounting term that accountants use when they came from the old books of the closing of the year into the new book. I'm in there. I know I'm in there. Sometimes God got to take you through before he bring you to. You don't understand why you're going through this. But God is already prepared for you to be able to go through and know that when you come out on the other side, baby, you'll come out like pure gold. You'll come out smelling like roses. When your enemy's sitting back laughing and scoffing and looking at you as if you ain't got what it take. Carrie may have suffered through some something. Charles may have suffered through something. Patty may have suffered through something. Apostle may have suffered through something. We all have due afflictions. But I heard the man of God out in Houston, Texas, say you just got to learn how to stay in your lane. Sometimes when you get hurt and you're going through affliction, sometimes you got to do like Abraham done. When God told him everywhere he went, they say Abraham made an altar. Everywhere he lies, he made an altar for God. Sometimes you got altars. We got certain places in the house that we go and pray in and roam a specific place. But sometimes your altar is right in the front of you. And sometimes they really use for you to walk around and move around. Your altar is really your knees and the folding of your hands. Wherever you bow down on your knees at, that's where the power of God will be. I think he said that over in the book of Numbers. Then he said, man, he said, where y'all going to be having church at out in the desert?
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you see the cloud by day, and what did he say? The fire by night.
The fire by night.
Am I there? The pillar of fire, if y'all know anything about the holies of holies, the things that's going on inside that place, that the sacrifices that went up 24 hours a day for the remission of sins. And
that's
Christ said, you don't have to do those bulls, goats, and lambs no more. That when you run through an affliction in your life, just remember, the veil has been torn in two. Now, I'm the only sacrificial lamb. I'm the one that you got to look to when you're going through tribulations in your life. But what I want you to do is maybe understand that when you go through, tell it on the mountain. The old folks, they go tell it on the mountain, everywhere, across the hills and everywhere. Tell people what God's doing for you, that they may get an understanding about what they can happen for them in their life. We got to be able to tell it on the mountain. Paul, in the position of his area of afflictions, while he's out there in that Philippi jail, Paul is speaking to them and encouraging them from in the... Now, hold on a second, man. I've heard sometimes people in the prison system now will call people and encourage them to keep moving because they didn't have adapted to where they are and know that they ain't going to come out no time soon, so they might as well get settled where they are. And any encouragement they can do, they can send it out to the people who are out there for they won't have to come here. I think that was like the rich man, wasn't it, Elder? I think he, the
yes,
rich
sir.
Man went through the same process. He said, won't you go ahead and let my brothers know? No, he said, they got the prophets like you got the prophets. And they ain't sending nobody
right.
down here. You got to endure
he
the
said,
affliction.
You didn't believe, but they won't either.
Didn't he say it? But
that's what he said.
Word, yeah. When we look at this word, Paul to Timothy, the servant, that word servant of Jesus Christ,
yep.
a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a strong word in the body of Christ where we have took it out of the body of Christ. Servant.
Oh, yes.
We don't believe
really
that no more. No. Everybody want to be a name.
Everybody want to
have a... Am I there? Yeah. He says, Jesus Christ. Notice what he called them back then. He didn't call them Christians. He called them saints.
Mm-hmm.
Saints of God. Saints, he said, they were in Christ Jesus in Philippi. He said, which is to the bishops and the deacons. Now, when you read this, now look at one of the breakdowns, and I know the elder's going to look at me. We'll look at them. Here we go. We're going to bring some enlightenment in, maybe. Pastor Patty can bring some enlightenment to him as I speak. And I welcome all to come in what you're saying because we're in an open conversation right now. But the Amplified Version said to Philippi with the bishops, overseers,
mm-hmm.
and deacons. Paul really had a problem with that. Because when you look at bishops is only supposed to be one over one jurisdiction. It's a bishop, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be only one bishop of a certain region or area. But now we look on the internet, we look across the Facebook, we got bishops everywhere.
Yes, sir.
It's just going to be a bishop because it sounds popular to be a bishop. But Paul had a problem with so many different people, in leadership positions and is supposed to have the authority as a bishop, but yet he in chains. Y'all, man, y'all got to come on with me in here. Y'all got to give it a give with me. We got people who in Christ are still in prison.
Amen.
They're still in prison. Prison in their circumstances, prison in their situation, but they adopt the title name and they adopt the bricks and the mortar name and they call themselves a little bit more than what y'all. Now, let me ask you. Now, this is, Elder, what is that? What is that scripture? What is your favorite scripture in Galatians? How did Paul say that over
Galatians?
How do you say it?
I am crucified with Christ.
Am I there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead on. No longer I, but what? How you say
no
that?
No longer I. No longer I, but the Christ that lives in me. So the flesh that I live because of Christ in me.
Because
and
of what's
says that, it's right. According to the Son of God who loved me and died and gave himself for me.
Now, no, how you say it? According.
According to not my own desire.
He said it was for somebody on behalf that I'm doing what I'm doing. I ain't doing this by myself. He said to the bishops and the deacons, grace to you and to peace to our God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I think upon God of every remembrance of you. Now that's when we talk about how we got to pray for one
mm-hmm.
another. He said, always in every prayer of mine that you may make requests with joy. And you make requests with joy. Now, listen how this man is talking in prison. Now, we're talking about crucifixion. Now, it goes back to Romans. We talked in Romans. I reckon for the suffering at this present time, they won't be revealed. Paul is sending encouragement inside a prison. This is why we have testimony night.
Amen.
Testimony night is in reference to why you in your prison or in your state or your shadow or your valley of death, that you can come out and you can testify to somebody about what you in and knowing, give them confidence that they can come out too. Paul, I'm in prison. But while I'm in prison, I'm mentioning prayers and requests for you. And the same bishop and deacons are the one who put me here. By the word of God, say despiteful. Don't. This, the way I said, don't. Let me make sure I get this right. Pray for those. How I say, to do what? Despitefully use you. I believe Paul was being used in here to a way that these people he was praying for was the very ones probably imprisoned him. These overseers
Man.
That was in Philippi. But it says, I'm praying to the ones who elected the bishops and the deacons, even though they were men of God, is encouraging doing the word of God. But see, when you think about, when you talk about, like when I think about this elder, and I think about when Paul rode on Damascus, and I thought about all the time when Paul said, Lord, who art thou? And I kept thinking about that. Lord, who art thou? And I can remember in the older days how they called people lords. You know, oh, my Lord, uh-huh. my Lord. You know, they didn't use it in the way that we use it in Christianity. Oh, my Lord, as a person like a overseer, somebody's over them. My Lord.
Amen.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? In these old ancient movies, it talks about, in these old Roman movies, they talk about, they call the people lords. And I believe the other name for those who gave Paul the letters, even though it was a priest, I believe he called them, they called them, some of the people of the certain regions in which he lived and they governed them, I believe they didn't call them Pharisees, they called them lords. They say he got a letter from the high priest. But I believe the letters from the high priest, that the people who they have a norm that was in the city, I believe they called them lords. I don't know for sure. But sometimes when you see a person, that when you look at some of these historical readings, they call the people lords who are more in an upper echelon position. They didn't call them what they were like, the ambassadors. So they called them lords. Even though they had entitlementship outside the readings, ambassadors, as bishops, as deacons of a high quality, or Pharisees, or the office of the council, they still called the high councilmen's lords. They called them lords. Am I there? They called them lords. And when I think about this, in this particular area, that Paul is praying for these men of God who possibly that he was working with the ministry to move forward, but yet at the same time, there was others also that was coming against them, and he had to strengthen them and keep them encouraged while he was even in prison.
Mm-hmm.
For the fellowship. Now, he said, always in my prayers, always in my prayers of mine for you, all making requests with joy. Can you see that? Let's look at an Amplified version. In every prayer am I always making earnest. Look at it. He say, nigga, entry or earnest position for you with joy and delight. I'm in prison, man. You done put me in prison and I'm finna pray for you? I mean, Lord, help me. And I know you done wrongly did me. That's going to take some really humbleness right there. When somebody wronged you or do you to a point they cause really bad harm to you, and you got to be able to sit there with your jaws poked out with rocks in your jaws, and you got to sit there long enough that you can get over that thing. Because sometimes when people hurt you, and it takes a while for you to get over it. I'm just going to tell the truth. Most people don't want to hear that. You know, you ain't gonna, when somebody do you wrong, you just gonna be, oh, well, God forgive me. Yeah, you gonna forgive, but they hurt you. And it's gonna be a while before you forgive them. For the fellowship in the gospel, from the first day until now. Now look what he said, the fellowship in the gospel. Can you help me there, Elder? Can you help me with this fellowship? Sir. You were talking about this thing today, about the dissension in the church. Help me with that. Yeah. Help me with that 5, 6, and 7 right there, because it's in there where you are. Right there.
Yes, sir.
That's what God is telling you in that 6th verse. But I want you to look at that. I want you to take it from that back over from that 4 to 6. And I want you to see the 4, the 6 and what God is telling you in the midst of all this calamity that's going on. He's talking to you in this teaching today.
Yes, sir. Paul says in verse 4, always in every prayer of mine making requests for you with all joy. In other words, he's always intercessing for the people. He's always intercessing for the saints. And he goes on to say, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. His constant, fervent prayer is for us to remain, our fellowship in God is to remain intact. And through everything that we're going through everything that comes at us, as long as our fellowship remains intact in the Lord, then God is going to complete the process that he's already begun. We've got to understand that the journey is what's not important. The destination is what's important.
just like when it comes to this word, the messenger ain't so important, but the message is what's important. And we've got to always remember that. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be tried and tested, and more times than not, it's going to be through those that are, we consider close to us, or we consider, you know, highly esteemed to us. And in relation to the situation that I'm going through, God dropped something in my spirit a couple of days ago, and it was simply this. When we look at crucifixion and we look at the cross, Jesus told the disciples in Mark, I think it was Mark the 8th chapter, somewhere around the 35th verse, he said, whoever desires his life, well, actually, let me back up, 34th verse. Jesus told them, he said, whoever desires to come after me, or whoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, when Jesus told us to take up our cross, the symbol of the cross means so much more to us than I think we actually, honestly, realize. Because there are times on that cross, when Jesus was on that cross, Jesus was on that cross all by himself for the sin of humanity. In other words, he hung on that cross by himself to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. So when we take up our cross and follow him, we're going to find ourselves in the same position that we are all out there by ourselves. And when you're surrounded by those that are desirous to do things that are contrary to God's will, but you know that you are on the cross, you know that you are crucified with Christ, you can't come down off of that cross. There was a point when Jesus was hung on the cross and he cried out to the Father, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani. In other words, he asked, Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God left him alone for that very moment to show the world that he loved us enough to give up his only son that my we God. Might be saved. What we do for Christ, we don't do for our own selfish gain and ambition. That's why this script is so important. But Paul said, so that your fellowship in the gospel from that first day, in other words, from the first time that you believed and you accepted That's Christ right. into your heart, the Apostle Ellis spoke the formula earlier. I believed in my heart. I confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. God brought us into fellowship with him, and we have to abide in that fellowship. It's Paul's prayer that we continue to abide with him in that fellowship until God, who started that process that very moment, going to complete it until everything is consummated to the day that Christ returns.
That's right.
God bless
you. Right. Amen. Amen, man of God. You know, it's just a process of, I believe, I'm going to make sure I got this number right. You guys, hold on just a moment. Give me just a moment, and I'm gonna shoot some static over at this one. 810. Is that an 810? We're waiting on someone to come in, but I don't know if this is the number or not. If you're not the person, hey, excuse me, 810-793. Are you there? Okay, I was waiting on Apostle Walker. I think that was his number, but maybe it's not. But I don't want to interrupt you. Continue to listen in. 810-793. We're in the book of Philippians, and we're talking about the crucifixion of Christ in a different manner of way that it brings more enlightenment to how we are as men and women, God, in the body of Christ. As I bring the elder back in here, Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. Also, I want you to hold for a minute, Elder, and I'm going to see if the woman of God, Pastor Patty, is available right now to continue to help us move in on more information and enlightenment on that book, in the area of Philippians. Are you there, Pastor Patty? Okay, she may be held up at this time because I think she was telling me she's going to be off for a minute. But we want to move forward, Elder. We want to continue on with which we're just speaking of. For those who I see about eight more callers that came in, we're in the book of Philippians, and we're in the process of talking about, have you been crucified? And we went through the story just to narrate some things of how we talked to him in Mark chapter 10. And we spoke over in the 30th down to the 34th verse about how Christ was revealing to them on his way before he went into his crucifixion, how they would mark him in the 34th verse of Mark 10, 34, how they would spit on him. During the course of the time when we started this process off, we were dealing with the area of how we are as men and women God go through crucifixions in our life, and how the word of God reveals over the Romans 8 and 18, that God set a record for the suffering this present time. Well, Paul spoke to Romans, I reckon for the suffering this time is not presently revealed to those things that will happen to us as glory continues to come. In other words, he said, I reckon for the suffering this present time, you know, it's not worthy of the grace that will be revealed. I mean, there's something going through our suffering and our pain, our worries, our circumstances that we're dealing with in life. It brings such a great joy in what Christ does when he brings us out, when we go through these things. As an elder at beginning to talk on in this particular chapter in the book of Philippians over in the 5th verse, he was saying, for the fellowship of the gospel until now, he was talking about the Protestant time when you first consummated the word Christ, and he speaks about it, I believe it's over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when the word God talks about the process that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, back in Romans 8:9-10. Once we make the confession, as the elder one said, For our fellowship in the gospel, the first day until now, being confident, the day you choose Christ is no longer a struggle with you. It's all Christ, that who you got to depend on for everything he called and everything he's doing through you. It kind of bounces back and to make us speak about Romans 8:18 again. I want to just bring something to the table. Now, I want you guys to hold with me right there. And I want you to flip your Bible. I want you to be with me on this particular area of scripture as we go to this particular area. I want to see something here over in the book of let's look at the book of Romans, and let's look at something in the book of Romans here. Let me get some things pulled up on my screen here, because I got some people that's actually looking at this particular teaching by some satellites over in the area of the Philippines. So I want to make sure this is coming up on the screen. It's been a mirror to them, and they're watching this. Let's go over to our Bibles. Let's look at something here. Let me get back here, y'all. Be with me for a second. It wasn't in my notes, but as the Holy Spirit gave reverence, I had to go to this because me and the elder taught about this, how we are as men and women of God in Christ, and how God has already really signified, ordained, preordained, and called us to do the work for the kingdom of God. I think he says over here in the book of, let's look at Romans, let's look at that 8th chapter. I think the elder knows. Let's go down here to the 13th verse, and let's look at around that, let's start at the 10th verse, and let's look at this. We're going to go through this very carefully. Now, we're going to stay in the book of Philippians 1, and we're talking about the confirmation, as the man of God says, we come together by the confession of our mouth. Now it's not only I, as he says in Philippians 1:6, but it's Christ. If he began the great work, then it's his work. You're just a vessel. You're just a conduit. You're here on earth to get your instructions, as Joshua got his instructions, as David got his instructions. Your job is to be obedient to the work that God has in you, because now you're called to be something more greater than what you allowed, what you think you are. The Bible says over in the verse Romans 8:10, he said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Now, this part right here, if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin. Notice how he's saying this. If God's going to do a work in you, then you got to be in Christ. And the Bible says, if any man to be in, you're now separated from the life we once used to live. I think Peter says that it has not yet been revealed what we should be once we come to the point of fully acknowledging Christ, who he is in us. And he said, greater than he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's no longer our struggle. It's so much we can go on this. But in the book of Chronicles talks about the same thing in the battles that came against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat cried out to Christ and said, aren't you the God in heaven over all the heathens? It talks about it. Help me out here, Elder. I think you're up in there. So I think it's 2 Chronicles around that 2 and 20. But it's around that 6th verse. 2 Chronicles 20, around that 6th verse. He began to cry out to God in the conflict that was coming against him. There were people about to invade him. And this is what we're seeing here right now with the process that when Christ began to speak in the book of Philippians, but the great work that he began in you, that he will perform it complete to the day of Jesus Christ. It goes back in so many different ways. Christ gave himself up in the book of John 14, and he talked about, I come to do the work of the one who sent me. And that's the same thing with you. When you was born in the womb of your mother, you was given the gift to be the prophet before the nation. So you got to believe, you got to know who you are. The word of God declares decrees. When we go down here to the Romans and look at Romans 12, in Romans 8 and 12, he said, therefore, brother, you are not debtors. You weren't called to be a minus in the earth. You're called to be something significant in the work that you're doing in this particular environment that you're in, that you may bring more to the kingdom of God in such a way that they'll be more greater than they ever thought they can imagine even before they even thought of. And I mean, this is how he says it. Brother, therefore, you are not debtors to the flesh. You don't give in to the flesh anymore to live after the flesh. You're debtors. Debtor means your debt means to be separated. It's a negative side. Positive side is the process is positive. But then to be in debt, you're not your flesh in who you are in Christ goes to the book of Galatians. If you walk in the spirit, in Galatians 5:16, walk in the spirit, that you won't fit the lust and the desires of flesh. Now it sounds like there's apostles taking you way up, but I'm teaching you something how you are and who you are in Christ. That if any man to be in, you got to be in Christ. You're no longer, you don't do debts to the flesh. The debts to the flesh are the deeds that Christ talks about. Is that Galatians around that, starts on that 18. He says, these things are the things that are contrary, that the flesh, that you no longer come and go walk with the flesh. Because these things cause the flesh to be in negativity. I think the Romans, the word of God says, if y'all hold with me here, I'm going to make my argument here, and I'm going to bring it on in there, because I feel the Holy Ghost moving in here. Look what he says over in the book of Romans, over in the book of Galatians, over that 5:16. He said, if I say they walk in the spirit, you not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. He said, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. He said, these are contrary. These are the debts that's trying to come against me and you in our everyday life, that make us be nailed to the point that make us feel like we some kind of spectacle, that we ain't got what it takes to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. But I heard the word of God said in Jeremiah 1:5, before you was born, created, designed, and engineered, I called you to be a prophet before the nation. And when it seems like you're struggling in your walk, he takes you back to over there to Jeremiah 29:11. If only I know the thoughts and the plans that I got up off in you, they're the good and not of evil. He goes back to Philippians 1:6. He makes it very clear that the work that I began in you, you are complete to the day of Jesus Christ. That means the word says in Isaiah 55:11, there are no weapons formed against you or me that should prosper. We have been given power, according to Genesis 1:26, dominion, supremacy, authority, to move, to rule, to reign, to convict, to arrest, to shut down everything that's not like God, and the power of the tongue to be able to speak, according to Romans 4:17, to call things to be not to, if we got the power to prophesy in our lives. I'm somewhere. The word of God tells you and declares you in the Romans, back in that Romans 12, he said, you're no longer debtors to the flesh. You don't live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do modify the deeds of the body, yes, you shall live. Or yes, shall live. Now, I'm somewhere. I don't know if the woman of God is in here. But I want to light her up again, Pastor Pat, to see if she's in here. Because I know she's there somewhere. But I've got her on speaker. Are you there? Now, she and I, we'll be going on back over to the elder, because I'll be, she's back there quietly doing something, things that she needs on the side of the student. Come on, elder.
Amen. I'm right there with you, Pastor. That verse, that 12th verse in Romans 8 and 12, in other words, plainly lets you know that you don't owe anything to sin. You don't owe anything to flesh, but you owe everything to the God who has liberated you, the God who has delivered you from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
And it has to be a spiritual work. It has to be an inward work, because we can't do anything. The Bible says that in the flesh dwelleth no good thing, and flesh will not dwell before God. Before a holy God in particular.
So we've got to understand to be crucified is literally to be separated from this flesh and this life of sin. And when you profess that you're crucified with Christ, you can't just take the good and sidestep the bad.
Yeah,
you know, it comes with everything that goes along. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to go through.
But the Lord shall deliver them from them all.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, the heat is being turned up. God is shaking bushes. And a lot of the places where what we know to be the church or the physical church today, there is so much going on. That's why we've got to understand, and not enough people are being taught to discern and distinguish between the actual physical church and the spirit of the church. God is a spirit, and they that worship him what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Elder Terry, I got a call for let me say something. You go on. I got a call from one of my friends here, who me and him was in school together, and he called me and told me, he said, Pastor, how's your service going to be going? I said, it's going to be really good Fridays, everything is well, everything is good. He said that he's going to be having 6 services. And I said, now what are you going to do with 6 services? I know you got a major church, but you're going to have 6 services. That means you're making it convenient for the people whatever time they come in. Now, why not be all on one accord? Why you want to try to crowd everybody in there? Oh, you know, you hold close to 15,000 in there anyway. But why make it convenient? I don't think Christ made it convenient. He made it convenient for us, but it's according to the convenience he made for us through obedience. So what y'all are going to do, y'all going to crowd all these people in. Y'all going to tell them about just the death, burial, and resurrection, which is really more than just that, the death, burial, and resurrection. How Christ died, some good oratorical performance to tickle the ears of the people. You're going to ship that crowd right back out, not being saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit that day in. As the Word of God said, they'll get the word of the shallow ground because they're pushing for time to how many people they can corral into their house. Am I there?
Yes.
And people never get the full manifestation of the power of God and what has that been revealed for them to have. So they come in the house. They get them like in the movie. I got a 9 o'clock movie, I got a 10 o'clock movie, I got a 12 o'clock, I got a 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And they just corral them in. But see, this is not that you're not just going to some CMC theater when you come into the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming in that you may direct the people in such a way that they are God's sheep. That you to give them a word to deliver them in the season which they ended, they help them to move forward. So when they come back again, they'll never forget. Now, it is just like fishing. But I go back to the parable in the book of Luke when he said the boats were sitting over there on the dock. They were washing their nets. But Jesus went into the boat of one Simon Peter said, thrust into the deep for a catch. He told him to thrust out from the side. He said, thrust out from the side. And he taught from the boat. And he taught the people where they was on the bank. My question is this. When they come into the house of God, what is that's going to be changing or life changing in the life of those thousands of millions of people, whatever it is, that may come through on that Sunday, other than just some money in an offering plate and some nice suits and clothes and shiny new shoes on for one day, and they go back and set up in their closet and just catch dust for the rest of the year? What are you going to tell these people that never been to the house of God? It's so many people lost confidence in the bricks and mortar. But I tell people like this, don't lose confidence in the church. The Bible says we ought to gather together and we ought to encourage one another. That's what the church is designed to do. And then when we go out to the mission field and we tell it on the mountains, the older people did with my family, sisters, my mother and your mother. They went and told it on the mountain. They went and told the people about the goodness of Jesus Christ, like that woman at the well. That's what kind of message they need to give. That'll convict them people when they come up off in there. They'll go back and get all the people from every area of their country and town. I heard a word today. And Christ, if something happened to me, how did that song go? There's an old song that's saying but I went to church one evening. And I said that I think he said how they said, my hands, I began to walk and I had a new walk. How I got that song go? And my hands, I began to move my hand. My hands, they all look new. And I started shouting. And the woman of God said he left the house with a whole new understanding about what it is to be a saint in Christ, what it really is to be a man or woman of God. We need a life-changing message other than just corralling the people in. Like them people down at the Bethesda gate over there in Mark 5. The sheep gates. Five different inferences of people that are coming in. But that one man laid there, toe up. And the word of God had to come and tell him, do you want to be made whole? But Paul speaks it very strong in the book of Philippians. We won't want to get too far off course here. He speaks it very strong in the book of Philippians. That being confident, Philippians 1 and 6. But being confident in this very thing, was he had begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I think the elder said, from the time you open your mouth, that your gift is what he gave you in Jeremiah 1 and 5, is about to come to the full manifestation of the releasal of while you really on earth. You're not just some horse or fly to come through town and buy some cars and buy some furniture, some jewelry. Am I there? Some clothes and some shoes. You know, you really more than what you can see. The Bible says your eyes have not seen, but you got to come to an enlightenment stage in your life to know that God's got a plan that supersedes far beyond more than you can imagine and understand. He says it over in the Amplified Version. He said, I am convinced and sure of this very thing. Now, to be convinced and be sure, you got to know who God is. You got to know who God is. The old folks said you got to know that you know that you know that you know. Then when you're in the midst of your trial, you got to know that none but a God can bring you out. None but a God from heaven can bring you out. A God being confident, sure in this very thing, which he begun a good work in you, continue into the day of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Right up until the time of his return, developing that good work, perfecting and being it to full compliance or complacence in you. You got to believe what's in you. Doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside, what's in you. Yeah, I done made some mistakes. You done made some mistakes too. But if you really want to change, if you really, really want to change, if you really, truly want to change, we all going to leave here one day. We're going to get up out of here one day. And I mean, you want to make sure that you're in a position that you start asking God, Lord, forgive me for every idle word or every idle thing I may have done in my life. Because you're going to have to give account to all every idle word that you've spoken. Come on, man of God.
Amen, amen. I agree with everything 100%, Pastor. You know, what Paul is letting us know here is that no matter what we do, as long as we're standing in God, we have to be assured of it. We have to be confident. The word confident lets us know that we have literally no doubt. We are assured that everything in this word, that everything we do for the cause of Christ and for the call of God is secure, it's right, it's true. And sometimes all the time, that means being transparent. That means standing in truth and righteousness, because these days your integrity is being tested. People are giving in, allowing their integrity to be compromised, everything. And it reminds me, Jesus gave a parable in the 22nd chapter of Matthew about the great wedding supper. Amen. One of these days, we're already being invited to the wedding supper. Now, you can decide now if you're too busy to attend, and you got all of these reasons, but there's going to come a day when those doors are shut. Right now, we're living under what's called a dispensation or a time frame of grace.
Yeah.
But there's
yeah.
going to come a day. God is going to withdraw that opportunity of grace. We've operated under grace so long, men take it for granted.
Yeah, they do.
The Bible still says, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man reaps, so that shall he also reap.
That's right. That's right.
That go for every last one of us. I don't care what your title is. I don't care what your place is, how successful you are. You consider yourself to be, how rich, how poor. Whatever you sow in this life, you're going to reap when it comes to the one, not only in this life, but also in the one that comes. Now,
Matthew,
I'm like Pastor Ellis.
Food, didn't
That's right.
He called them boys in Matthew 5:20. He called them, they were fools. He said, five fools
that's
and
right.
five wise.
Mm. Yeah, with the lampstands. You mm-hmm. know, we can't afford to miss out. We can't afford to miss out. I'm like Apostle Ellis. I know one day I'm going to leave here.
Yeah. You're gonna
and
get
when
out
I leave
here,
I want to ensure now
yeah.
that I'm going to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people at funerals all the time, you know, like those saying goes, you ain't got to go home, but you got to get up out of here.
Yeah, that's what they do back in the old club days when they shut the lights on last
exactly.
call for alcohol. You,
there
that
you
used
go.
To, one old song to hear that people say, well, Pastor, what you going to talk about? I've been out there before too now. I know what it was. I've been out there before too now. You give me a Heineken and a couple of Tangerines, I was ready. So don't tell me that I ain't, and I know what I used to be. That's why I boast in Christ like Paul did.
Exactly. Ain't none of them got no squeaky clean testimony.
Well, I ain't never known. I ain't never known nobody on earth is perfect anyway. Not I ain't never known but one.
Exactly.
Y'all gonna get us started some of that Romans over there. That Romans 3 over there. He said, all that come unprofitable. Ephesians said, we all once walked the, what, Ephesians 2? He said, we all.
Yep.
He said, we all once walked the course of the world. We
that's
all
right, all of us.
Behind closed doors. We all said, we all had spicy language.
And he said, we were all at one time children of disobedience.
We all was. But when Christ came in, then he loosed
and
the,
even then,
Paul said he loosed the bonds, he loosed the pins. He said he loosed
hallelujah.
The pins. Yeah, he shut that stuff down. Now
hallelujah.
That right, the same right to do that very same thing. It ain't never too late. I don't know who's listening or who need prayer, but I know our lines are lit up. But I do know one thing. If there's a prayer you need and you're asking God for something in your life, as you go, the Bible says the days will be like hours. And he said the weeks will be like days and the months will be like weeks. Am I something? Yeah, he said it moved that quick. Time is
that's where it's going now.
We're going into April. We just come off of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We just came off of Christmas. I remember when I was little, days would last so long you can't wait to get it'd be all day long.
Amen.
I'm gonna shorten the time for the sake of the believer, the word of God tells me. I'm gonna shorten the days for the sake of the believers. The earth is mourning and crying out. It's ready to go. But we as men and women
redeem the time.
Are we ready? Yeah, all we
redeem the time.
So my question to you tonight, I don't know where you are, what you're going through, or who you are, and it matters to me. I'm not going to say it don't matter. It really matters to me because I care about you. He cares about you. My wife cares about you.
Amen.
We all care about you, everybody on this line. And then it's we got to know that, look, we want to be saved. We're not saying anything that, no, look, Christ is the key. He's the one that delivers the way. I can't heal a flabby head of headache.
Come on.
I can't. But I'm just the worker for the kingdom. I work for Christ. He's the one that directs me, commands me. So when God does something in your life, spectacular, miraculous, we want so much. See, I don't want to give myself no glory. I don't want to get myself. I've seen miracles many of the days and still seeing them all today. Just a few weeks ago, a lady called me about a heart condition she had. And they said once they went back and they didn't see nothing in there no more what they thought they saw. She was totally healed. And that's just the power of God, that he can
that's
do whatever
right.
it is in your life as well, financially, physically, spiritually, whatever. Your kids' life, whatever. Sometimes the devil works through them too. They run around like something wrong with them, like they got demons in them. I ain't gonna say no sons of Skeven, but you know, I'm just saying. But you know, he can work through. He can get in anybody. He can get in anybody. So when you call into this number, area code 516-387-1220, just don't hang out on the line. Say something that'll help somebody else in their walk. And if you need prayer, say, "Hey, look, pray for me and my family." I ain't never in my life had enough prayer. I ain't never known anybody that said they got enough prayer. I hear the young people say, "I'm good." Yeah, well, yeah, are you really? And I kind of second the motion with him on that, because of the fact that some people, you got to be careful who you let pray for you. You know, because everybody hot and holy ain't holy. That's what Luke 6:46 says.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when you look at your life and you look at Luke 6:46 and you see that process where those men were digging and trying to build a foundation, and that brother over there was building stuff on top of the sand. Some people want stuff to come, that microwave ministry. They want to come quick. They don't want to work. They don't want to dig. They don't want to be down that pit. And I remember speaking to this one time, that one man that was just digging and the other man was building his house up. It didn't look like he didn't have what it take. He wasn't going nowhere. But the other man who was building this house was just building up. But he didn't have no foundation. But that young brother, he was digging deep. Digging the foundation for that foundation, a hole. But the winds came. And then the winds began to beat vehemently against that house. And the Bible said it shattered the house. But the man who dug deep. See, sometimes you see a man in a pit. It's really like, it looked like he in a pit. But God has got him in transition. How they say it? Mm-hmm. I hear some people, pastor in transition. It's called, you look at PIT, but it's really that person, the people in transition, whatever it is, pastor in transition, whatever you want to put it. Sometimes you're in transition and going to another level just because people are getting ahead of you. Doesn't necessarily mean that God still ain't going to fulfill his victory and his choice that he said he's going to do in you. Remember me saying in Philippians 1:6, I started the work. I'm not a God. What is it, Numbers 23:19-21? I'm not a God that I should lie. And I'm not a son of any man that I should have to repent. He brings it back over to what, Isaiah 55:11. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, it goes forth. What Isaiah 55:8, 9, and 10, it comes back on that same chapter. Matter of fact, before that, he talks about my thoughts, your thoughts, my ways, your way. Then he bounces way back on to Jeremiah 29:11 and completes the sentence in such a way that he's being to be confident with Paul in 1:6, but he goes back to Jeremiah 29:11 and says, I know the thoughts and the plans.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of doing, you got to be confident, as it says over in the book of Philippians 1:6. Be confident in what you're doing. Don't be lily
right.
Yellow back, spaghetti spine when you're going through stuff. Get on your knees and pray to God about it. And find you an intercessor. Somebody that you really know how to pray, how to talk to God, and got the keys to know how to open the kingdom up. When you're going through, you all to find you somebody know how to intercede on your behalf. Find you an intercessor, somebody that really know how to pray. For them devil, them demons, them darts won't keep coming at you, and you can sleep at night. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Let me see if this woman of God is in here. I keep on kicking her line, but for some reason, she's there and she's off. But I know she's down there. She's doing some things outside the studio because my daughter got a hold of her. Pastor Patty?
Yes.
No, there she goes. She up in there now. She up in there now. But as I speak and say the word, well, she was, as I speak and say the word, that your lifestyle has got to be a reflection of the kingdom. You're not going to be perfect, but your lifestyle has got to be a reflection of the kingdom. You got to reflect yourself. You got to mirror yourself like the kingdom. Michael Jackson, such a circular song, but such a relevant song. You know, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm trying to get him to change his ways. We need to change our ways in more ways than one, that we'd be an inspiration to the people around us. Pastor Patty?
Yes. I wanted to I was listening to what you all were saying tonight, and one of the things that, there were several things that stuck out, but one of the things you were saying about how there was a church that was going to have several services on Sunday, on Easter, and how, and let me back up a little bit. You know, have you ever had so many things going through your mind that you're trying to get it all out?
Oh yeah, right now.
I grew up in church, in a specific faith, and I didn't know when I was in church, and I went to church every week, and didn't know. And I remember this hearing over and over again, I don't know all the different places, but, you know, the Holy Spirit is speaking, that am I really saved? There wasn't talk about that. You know, was I what I thought living for God, but didn't really understand it. And I think that's what we have so many people doing, going to church just because it's Easter, going to church because it's Christmas, but not understanding the significance of coming together in the body of Christ. And I wonder about how so many people go to church, and are they saved? Are we getting that message out? Because it did reach me, and it reached me strong and so significantly. And I was going to church. I mean, from the time that I was a baby, you know, all the way through, but not really truly understanding until I started getting closer and giving my life over to Christ. I can't specifically tell you where it came from or what message kept feeding me, but God spoke to me, and I encourage everybody to develop your relationship with the Lord. Do you know that you've given your life over to Christ? Do you know that you've given your life over to the kingdom to really truly do the kingdom work, not just going through the motions? Because I was listening to earlier about how the time is that we don't know the time. We don't know when it's going to end. Are you ready? Are you individually ready? And I kept thinking about that so much in the last couple of days, and of course tonight, about, you know, we're coming so close to Easter, and whenever we go around a holiday like that, that it's the messages goes every which way. It's about Easter dresses and Easter, you know, how we look, and
about the money.
But are we really truly giving that message, the significant message about how Christ has died for us? And if Christ gave everything for us.
Everything.
And I like the testimony too, because it gives, I mean, just to hear people's testimony, to hear, we're so lucky to hear people's stories, you know, and to hear testimonies, not just from Tuesday, but just being in the ministry, how you hear how God touches people's lives.
Amen.
And to be a recipient of that touch that God has given me is amazing and so significant to me. And are we truly sharing that word? Are we sharing that love of Christ?
My God.
And I'm just thinking about so strong the last couple of days, because we've been talking about Easter and the significance of it. But really, truly, to have it's like to have the hand of God on you. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's peaceful. No matter what I've gone through in life, it's just, I've always had the hand of God on me. And
my God,
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for that. Mm. And even though I've turned different directions, I've not always done the thing that God wants me to do, coming back, God continues just to pull me aside and continues to have his hand on me. And I want that love of God for everybody to experience, that no matter who you are, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going to go through, that God loves each and every one of us. He just wants you to just be obedient to him so you can feel that love of God and the power of God in your life. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, when you testimonies are something else. Yeah, what I tell you, it's a whole variety of things that God has in store for each and every one of us. But you know, I'll open up, you know, the lines of this time, and I really just give everybody the opportunity to just, hey, look, just if it's a prayer you're needing, you know, we'll give you prayer. And we don't mind praying for you in whatever may be going on in your life. We don't really mind praying for you at all. And that's what we do. But the Word of God tells us over here, and we're just talking about just the model of prayer, just asking God to help us. You know, He makes it so plain and so easy. I mean, that anybody can really receive Him. I mean, all you got to say, hey, look, you know, I can receive Christ. You ain't got to be before a crowd of people. And this is what I got people to understand. You don't have to be in front of a whole group of people to do what God's going to do for you. You really don't. You know, you can ride right there in your living room with your children. I can remember days, and I don't mean specifics. My father was a father. He was a good father. But he provided for the family the way he should. But things always wasn't pleasing at home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't always pleasing at home, but he provided for the family. He did what he's supposed to do as a man of God. He took care of the household the way he should have. But there are things that we all deal with, you know, in our personal lives as men and women of God, where sometimes it pulls us away from what God has really declared. Well, I think this thing probably tried to cut out on me, but I don't think it did, but it tried to. But there's things that it tries to pull us away. You know, I'm kind of getting some bad signals on you guys. I hope you guys are still in the studio, because I'm getting some things that it's kind of reconnect and deconnect, but I'm backing up with you guys. For those y'all, just stay with me here. But what I'm saying, things weren't always pleasant at home, you know, when I grew up. But I had a father who did what he's supposed to do as a father. He took care of the house. He paid the bills. He made sure we ate. We kept lights on in the house. Am I talking to somebody? God, he's still doing things for us. But all he wants us to do in the midst of some of the calamities we go through is just believe and trust in him. You know, and I always offer the word of salvation. I don't care who it is. I offer the word of salvation to anybody and everybody, you know. The Word of God decrees that we're supposed to be able to do that. So most of my shows, you may get on there with me. You may see me announcing. You may not see me announcing. But the days I announce it, it's because I'm led by the Holy Spirit to do it. So I like to make an appeal. I want to make an appeal for those who are in position, even myself. You know, you can't say this. You can't ever say this enough about, you know, your salvation in Christ, because you just don't know. I mean, I get up in the morning, I see the news every day when somebody left here in the middle of the night. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to be your time. I'm not saying it's going to be my time. But one thing I can tell you, you can assure yourself that wherever you are in life, Christ has got a hand on you in terms of keeping you into that next transition, what he's taking you to. The Word of God tells me like this, that God loves you, that sin separated you from Christ. You know, the Bible said Jesus died for me in your sins. We read that earlier today. And the Bible said you can receive Jesus Christ. You ain't got to acknowledge me, but just hear what I'm saying. You can receive Jesus Christ right now where you are. The Word of God tells me if I confess with my mouth, if Charles, Apostle, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that God raised his son from the dead, which we're about to go into a few days here about the process of the resurrection, the Bible said you shall be saved. The Word of God declares, decrees that and we repeat after me. For those who want to repeat, it's up to you. But I'm telling you, I got to get this out to you because God is pushing this in my heart. The Word of God says, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. And I open my heart, Jesus, to let you come inside of me. Now, this is a confession. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins. And you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is so simple, but yet so powerful, because what it does is it initiates the key to let you in the door. Now, when you get in the door of the kingdom, you got to learn how to get around the kingdom. Most people got the keys to the kingdom, but they don't know how to get around the kingdom. I heard Dr. J.C. Matthews say, reigning in the national ministry, sometimes you got to know how to talk to God. Your expression, ways, and large veins, and shouting, and all this, talk to God. Talk to him like you're in love with him. Talk to him like he's your lover. Talk to him like he's your husband. Talk to him in a quiet place. When you sit and talk with your wife or fiance, well, if you ain't talking with a bunch of people all around, talking, yelling, talk to him. talk to him. Say, Kyle, you know, I've done some things that wasn't right. You know, I had some struggles in my life, and I know you got some things you're going to do for me. I believe that you're going to give me long life, and whatever is in me, I declare that the sickness and disease has got to go. The Father, your word declared and decreed, according to the kingdom, that there's nothing too hard for you to do. I believe that, because your word tells, quote, tell him the scripture, tell him what he said. Tell him what he said in Numbers 23:19-20. You told me you won't lie to me, that you're not a God you should lie. You're not a son of a man that you have to repent. You said you gave a commandment. And the difference between making a commandment and a covenant is totally different. Man makes contracts. God makes covenants. Contracts can be broken. Covenants are guaranteed. Despite if you run off and go anywhere, he's still going to take you back. But a contract, when a man made, oh, you go, no, you signed this contract on his house, or are we going to repo this house? Are we going to repossess this house? Are we going to repo your car or credit? Or are we going to go get out? That's what the law does. But Christ said, man, bring your cell phone back over here. I'm still waiting for you. I don't care how much you messed up. I did all that on the cross because I was wounded for your transgression. Those are increments of it. I was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was, it's all past tense, was upon you. And by his stripes, the Bible said, you are healed. Everything has already been done for you. Coming to Christ is a total package. Some people say, well, you got to wait to the coming of the Holy Spirit. Well, you got to understand what happened in the book of Acts. Those people are all on one accord. When you get on one accord with Christ, the word of God, somebody came in the book of Acts, chapter 2. They say before the man could even speak in, they say the Holy Spirit came in like a roaring wind. And notice what he did. It shut them up. They say it cleaved their tongues. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And then all those different people from different regions, from painters and all the different areas from Prigma, they've been to say, these people speak, we speak Galilean, they speak like us. The Holy Ghost is a universal language. And they got no barrier to the soul. It knows everywhere it's speaking. And if you acknowledge that, what we've done tonight, you got to become, just like the woman at the world, become an instant evangelist. Now, the word I spoke to you to say, the Bible says, this word is true. It's a true word. It really is a true word. Now, this word is not designed for me and you to take inside of our church. They're already in the church. It's like the man who was at the rich man. Let me use him as an example. It's like the man, the rich man, or the man in the pool of Bethesda. But the rich man, he had a chance while he was on earth. We had the good news, but he saw one of God's people right there beside him, and dogs began to lick their wounds, and then both of them died. But as the division came, the Bible said a great gulf came between them. But that man cried out and cried out that Christ would save him, give him some water, send Christ over, send him back to my brother. He said, you had the same opportunity when you was on earth. He said, I'm not going to send anybody up there. I ain't going to send the word up there, nobody. If your brother and your sisters who didn't run by the word of God, they're going to be right down here in this pool of fire with you. Man of God, you got to get this. This stuff is real. This is not no scare tactic. This stuff is real. There is a heaven and hell. As sure as I'm on this planet, that is a heaven and hell. And I'm telling you, if you ain't got your life right, you got to get it right. Because the word of God tells me, once you receive the word of God, don't take it to the corridors inside your church because they already there. If they don't get it, then they'll meet that man they'll meet that rich man down the way he was in hell. Ain't no sense you come to church and they get nothing out of it. Ain't no sense you going to the hospital every day and not getting cured of whatever's wrong is in your life. It don't make no sense. Church flow. What? First what? Flow, where'd you get that from? The Bible said, was glad when he said, let's go in the house of the Lord. He didn't say about no church flow. Get rid of all this cliche. Don't get caught up in that stuff. The word of God said he was glad when it said, let's go into what? The house of God. And we may worship him. Whatever we need, that God will get us a proper medication we need. Man, the elder God, man, the elder, Carrie, I'm a real man of God. I mean, man and elder God. I mean, that's powerful. Elder. In the name of Jesus, man of God, give us some last words and close us out of here and let us get on out. We pass our time. We're supposed to be out here. Go ahead.
Amen, amen. I just wanted to say, encourage everyone, the reason why this is so important because our testimonies not only build us, but they serve to build others. And anytime you go into the house of God, you're not there to look good. You're not there to play a role. You're not there to do anything but receive from God. Again, as I said earlier, too many people, and I agree with everything that Pastor Patty Ellis was saying, because I can identify with that growing up in the church and doing all the activity, but not really understanding or receiving the spirit of the church and the word of God, you know. And I grew up in the church my whole life, but I was a grown man before I finally actually heard and received the word for myself.
Amen.
And once you look, I was taught a long time ago, once you know better, you can do better.
Supposed to.
Exactly. That's the day and the hour that we're living in, though. Things are going to be coming at us, the saints of God I'm talking about. And we've got to be able to stand on what was put into us. Now, if you're getting it and you're not receiving it, then it's not in you. So we've got to get this thing right, because heaven and hell is real. And you know, we love everybody, and we want to pray. We want to make sure that we all make it in. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for these men and women of God, these hearts, these minds, these souls that are here to receive your word, oh God. We ask that you bless, keep, and protect each and every one and bring us back, Lord, to the appointed place at the appointed time without hurt, harm, or danger of any loved one. These and all other blessings we ask and we thank you for. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys are
blessed. God bless you and good night.
Amen.